All right, we've got a great episode coming up for you today. Be thankful for the Locked On Nets podcast and a dominant Brooklyn Nets performance. We're going to dive in not so much on the stars, but the team effort that it took to go ahead and have a fantastic victory over the Celtics. We get it back in on the rookie Cam Thomas. We talk about the rotations at the center spot as well with LaMarcus Aldridge. What is going on with Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap? It's a smorgasbord. It's a cornucopia of conversation around an incredible win for the Brooklyn Nets that really does, I think, send a message to the rest of the league. Doug, you're on notice. The Brooklyn Nets have found their version of winning this year.
Oh, yeah, and Adam told you right at the beginning for you to be thankful for the Lockdown. He told you what to be thankful for. Be thankful for the Lockdown Nets podcast.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
In case you're wondering about what to get into it around the dinner table on Thursday, there you go. Adam gave it to you. We have a really great podcast. This is a lot of fun on this one. Got into a lot of different Nets topics. We are going to get into it all. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets. Your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Over there is at Doug Norrie, blue check mark on Twitter, DFSR, for all your daily fantasy sports needs. He's got you covered. DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever it takes. He's the man for the job. I am at Adam Armbrecht, also covering the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast. And we're coming in breaking down, obviously, a dominant win for the Nets up in Boston. But before we do, got to tell everybody this episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want or need, and they can even negotiate a better deal on the apps that you do want. Check them over out on Truebill.com. And of course, thanks for making us your first listen of the day. We appreciate it. Free on all those great platforms. Dougster, domination yes. In Boston. Yeah, thank you. Present. domination in Boston for the Brooklyn Nets. We built this up. John Karolis and I locked on Celtics, got on, had a great conversation, talked about all the different angles, the facets, the matchups, how this could be a classic early season game. And then from our side of it, worked out really nice as the Nets just blow Boston out of the water. Feeling good as we're on the eve of Thanksgiving morning now, enjoying this as you prepare for tryptophan and cranberry.
Yeah, look, it used to be in the past, this was like the big bar night, headed out for the town, and then you get old, and then you just, a really good night leading into a holiday, is watching the Nets absolutely smoke the Celtics, and I'll just take that, you know, every single day of the week at this point. It was
drinking on the couch in my sweats. That's how I like to do it these days. That's my move.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to maintain a level here because we're still working.
That's later, not now, not now, guys.
Look, this was I don't think this is hyperbole here. I think this was like the most complete Nets team effort that they've had this season. And we're gonna go through a lot of the reasons why. Some are obvious, maybe some not as much, but just from a high level, this game was. If you see this game as, I'll put it this way, if you're another team and you see this game happen for the Nets, you're like, oh, you actually have to be pretty worried because the Harden and Durant didn't even have to do a ton and they smoked the Celtics.
Yeah.
And if they're starting to figure some stuff out rotationally here and figuring out like where these guys can contribute, this is kind of what can happen, right? Like this was just an absolute complete performance for the Nets, both ends of the court, very physical game. It did not matter for them. And they just got contributions from every single player. And when that happens, they were up 29 at one point. And I know the Celtics made a little bit of a run, but it was kind of like too little too late. This was just a complete performance. And if I'm other teams, I'm a little bit worried watching this.
Yeah, 123-104 is the final 19-point victory. Might as well have been 40 because, as you say, a little run from Boston. But to your point, we've wondered about, and we keep, you know, Blake Griffin out of the starting rotation. We're going to get into other players and some of the contributors behind the superstars. But the biggest concern that we have early in the season is saying when you don't have Kyrie Irving, it may take a lot more effort, specifically from Kevin Durant and James Harden on a night in and night out basis to ensure that you're going to get victories or just stay in games, especially against some of the better teams. But tonight, it was good performances from your two lead stars.
Yeah.
But everybody else made it possible for it not to be a strain. And, you know, I'll go back to that game when we acknowledged, didn't even realize Kevin Durant was necessarily participating on the court. He gets a night off. I think this is as important to for the league to notice, like you said, but I think it's important for Kevin Durant and James Harden to see everybody else around them say, oh, and against a quality team, right? Winners of eight of their past 11 coming in are the Boston Celtics, so they figure some things out early in the year. Important for these two guys to see the rest of their team saying, yeah, we can go ahead and take one, put it on our backs for you. You don't have to do a heavy lift for 82 games because that will be a strain and it will impact. We saw it last year. It can impact what your plans are when it comes to the playoffs.
Look, and Durant played 37 minutes and Harden played 36, and it didn't feel anything like that. Right? No. Like, it didn't feel, because if you look at that stat, the numbers, and then think about what you actually saw watching the game, it doesn't feel, because I actually just got surprised by myself when I just looked at this right now. I'm like, oh my, he played 37 minutes. That's crazy, because they even had a few minutes dusted off at the end because of the blowout. But the reason it feels like that, like that, the dissonance around why the number looks different than what actually happened on the court is because so much of the load was taken off of them in this game, because while it was a 37 minutes for him, 36 for Harden, the shot distribution was so evenly dispersed across the lineup tonight that it's just one way to show that they're not being overtaxed. 16 for this is shots. 16 for Durant, 13 for Harden, 13 for Aldridge, 12 for Patty Mills, and then you get 11 from Cam Thomas off the bench. Like, in terms of field goal attempts, like, when you see it broken down that way, you're like, right, they just weren't being overtaxed here, right? Yep. Like going back to what you said, to put a pin in what you said, there's a certain level of comfort around allowing these other guys to do stuff. And if that's going to be the case, then this is even more of a well-oiled machine. And it's not just going to be the KD show where he needs to put everyone on his shoulders for 40 minutes a game.
Now, Kevin Durant in the last game had 9 assists. He had 8 one other time this season, but he had 8 assists in this game. And I think that's indicative of everyone else doing their part, because you don't think about, I talked about this with John too, how, well, Kevin Durant's the guy that's always going to get to his spots, get his looks, and be successful. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not capable of setting up, just his presence creates spacing on the floor for other shooters. But James Harden, he's the facilitator, he's the guy that gets everyone involved. So when you see Kevin Durant being able to also, and then Harden had 11, right? So 19 combined assists. This is these two incredibly high-level talents drawing the focus of the defense and then getting rewarded by their teammates by knocking down looks. You mentioned Patty Mills, who continues to be like, I know at some point it's going to get a little uneven for him, and he had been less consistent early, some up and down performances from the outside. He's starting to find a real rhythm there, obviously being in the starting lineup while Joe Harris is hurt, but this is that kind of statement game. And the one piece that I'll give on Boston's side of it, just in terms of wanting a good matchup, we talked about it coming out of the Golden State Warriors game of, oh, you wanted this game to be this big moment, and the Nets fell flat, and they got blown out. Happened for Boston here in this one. The key thing that John and I talked about for Tatum was not settling and staying aggressive and driving at the basket. You know, he only had 2 free throw attempts in the first half of this one, so I think a byproduct of what the Nets were doing on both ends of the floor, but this was a game where one star on the court, lucky for us it was Jason Tatum for Boston, just seemed to be willing to settle. I don't know what he ended up with his perimeter shots, willing to settle for outside looks. Boston, a really bad three-point shooting team on the season, and that bore itself out in this one too. Like, it all coalesced to be a frustrating game for Boston. Things got a little chippy at one point, and at no step along the way, though, did Brooklyn buy into that. It was very easy to say, no, we're moving along here. We've got everything going in a nice clip. So this was a nice game. It wasn't the type of statement win you want in terms of a really difficult matchup. Like, those tests are different than blowouts.
Yeah, but like,
awesome. And it's probably maybe more important, right? This probably proves more than playing a tight game, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, you'd have this win every single time. Have it be easy. Have it just be a dominant performance. Like, not squeak one out, or just, you know, take some other tough team down to the wire and show a lot of grit. Mm-hmm. I'd just rather you show the grit early, get up with a nice lead, and then you can take your foot off the gas. We could be just as gritty in the first half and put them out of their misery, and then allow yourself to take it easy going into the holiday. I get what you're saying about wanting to make statement wins. This is totally a statement win. The national TV in Boston, a place where it could be very hostile crowd, where they could have probably found a lot of stuff about you that they could say to you, and that was taken out immediately. That was gone. That town, this crowd was dust. They got excited by pulling within 14 or something like that late, just because they just probably needed something to root for before they headed home to make their turkey. But it was over very early, and I think that's as much of a statement as anything else.
Want to get into the rest of the supporting cast. One more footnote about this game, too. Before we do, though, got to tell you about Truebill. As I said at the top of the show, it's the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for those subscriptions that you don't need or want or simply forgot about. I'm not above forgetting that I'm paying money to people for various products, and it turns out that I really don't need them. On average, people will save up to $720 a year with Truebill just by having a concierge negotiate on your behalf. You don't have to get in the weeds with anybody, get on the phone, because companies like to make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it incredibly easy. Just link your accounts to Truebill, and they will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. You can go ahead and head over to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA, and you could save thousands of dollars. On average, it's $720. Doesn't mean that you don't have a lot more that you don't realize you're paying for. Don't fall for the subscription scams anymore. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
Look, I mentioned Thanksgiving here. Thanksgiving, you might be listening to this Thanksgiving Day, day after Thanksgiving. Maybe you're feeling a little guilty about whatever you just kind of chowed down on over the holiday. That's why you got to make sure you're turning over to Built Bar to get a little health back into your life, especially when it comes around that food. Built Bar, they started with the flavors. What'd you get in the mail the other day? They sent you something. What's the what was the flavor they sent you the other day?
Lemon dipped cheesecake. They're giving you the dessert. It's not just a substitute. It actually tastes like the dessert you don't want to risk.
Yeah, Built Bar figured this out. It wasn't probably too hard of math, except that a lot of other protein bar companies couldn't figure it out early. They just start with the flavors and then reverse it back into something that's really healthy for you. A slice of pie, upwards of 300 calories on Thanksgiving. Switch over to Built Bar. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, plenty of protein. You replace that pie with a good old coconut Built Bar. Go for raspberry, maybe, if you want to get in that as well. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, 100% covered in real chocolate. Great option for when you're hungry. And then maybe you grab one or two on the way if you're just looking to fill in or make up for a meal. Share some of those family gatherings. You're not going to be disappointed with what you get from Built Bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Biggest thing about blowing out Boston in that game is that's the bounce back performance from Golden State, right? Sometimes when you have that bad game, you almost wish you get a really good matchup to follow it up so you can get that bad taste out of your mouth. Instead, a depleted Cavs team, a bad Magic team, another slightly healthier but still not up to the task Cavs team again. So this was a good game from that regard. But you mentioned the supporting cast. I had to ask you a bold question, I guess, in some ways. Got to start with the rookie, Cam Thomas, right back up there. Is this kid done on Long Island? I mean, you know, we understand the Brooklyn Nets are dealing with Bruce Brown and with Joe Harris as well. But do you think that he's now shown enough over these last couple of games and shown that he's comfortable enough to say, that's it, you have value. Even when we're 100% healthy, you're going to have value in a minute share on this roster.
I mean, 25 minutes in a national game where his scoring became really important and was at least engaged in the defensive end, I think you'd be hard-pressed to put him back down there, to not have him at least for the next few games. And even if it takes some lumps, because I'm sure there's going to be games where there will be some lumps, but I don't know how you don't keep playing him in your rotation, because I'll be honest with you, they really weren't playing him out of necessity here. I think they just saw that it was a good matchup for him. They still have Javon Carter. They kind of buried a couple other guys in favor of what they were going to get on the scoring punch with him. Or I mean, maybe just Carter's who they buried. But Carter ends up playing 11 minutes. Cam Thomas plays 25 minutes. And real minutes. He was in the first rotation. He was in the first rotation that came in at the 5 or 6 minute mark. That means that's the plan, right? This wasn't just, hey, we need to throw something at the wall, see if it sticks. This was the plan is to play him. and for him to play and look super confident. And he actually provides something for them that's pretty important, which is late. And I think they made mention of it on the national broadcast, but it was late shot clock shot creation. Yep. Is actually a real skill. Like, that's a real NBA skill that you can utilize, and not everyone can do it. Or, I mean, everyone can try to do it, and there's only certain people that can actually make it happen. But he has that. It's like, I'll call it like a bailout mode, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting bailed out here at the end of the shot clock. He has that. That's worth a lot. If they can make up for the defensive deficiencies, which I think they can, and they clearly leaned into like heavier minutes on some of these wings. Yeah, the long story short is yes, I think that we're going to see him pretty consistently, at least for the short term. And there will be some games where the streaky shooting looks bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just what you take, because I think we knew that was going to be the case anyway. And so, yeah, no, I think Cam Thomas is probably here for at least the medium term, I would say.
They believe in his shot from the outside, but was an 0 for 6 from the perimeter, but went 4 for 11 overall. So I can do hard math. That's four.
Can
or
I
five
say one more thing
field.
About him, yeah. Too? Like, because the other skill besides just the late shot clock stuff is the ability to get fouled stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Because he goes to the line 6 times, you can be streakier, and this is where actually streaky shooters can make up for streakiness by getting to the line, because you're really not going to be streaky at the line. The good shooters will be really consistent there, even if they're not from beyond the arc or whatever. And so if you can sort of buffer your streakiness or your volume shooting with the ability to get fouled, which he does have, the ability to stop in traffic, to be able to change direction, the ability to speed up and slow down, the ability to take his shot into bigger bodies. Sometimes it looks bad. Jason Tatum blocked him into the seats, but not caring and going right back and doing it again and getting fouled later, like, that is a real skill. And that, we said that from the very beginning, that is a skill that will translate at the NBA level, and we're seeing it.
Yeah, they like him as a 3-level scorer. And to your point, I mean, there's no comparison getting made here, but that's the facet of James Harden's game that makes it so easy for him to have some questionable looks from the outside, not have the shot be falling, but his ability to attack downhill, go at the basket and get fouled and get to the line. Cam Thomas picks up an extra 5 points just by getting fouled and going to the line. He also picked up a little defensive, I think, tip block in this one. That makes 3 for him on the year.
I will push back, because that was a goaltend. They didn't call it, but the...
Hey, buddy, when you look it up in the stat sheet, it doesn't say goaltend. It says block shot. He did have, he's had a couple. What I do like is you're seeing the rhythm in that regard, though. And he is, you know, people have made jokes about, you know, being, he has the same type of, I think, physical build to be in a James Harden kind of vein. He's a stocky, thick built guy. Like, he's 200 plus pounds at 6'3". So that's good for him on the defensive end. Just from it, if you're willing to give the effort and the energy, he's big enough and physical enough to stay in front of matchups. He's going to get his, you know, down with those rhythms, the switches and everything else. And just as the footnote to this before we move off of Cam, who's been good, and I'm happy, I want him there. Everyone knows I'm a rookie man. When they broke out and he linked up with Kevin Durant for that monstrous slam, the enthusiasm with which Kevin Durant gave him the double tap high five on the way back, yeah. Like, these guys want it. Kevin Durant talked in the pregame how they have an ongoing practice session running tally right now, and Cam tried to lie and say that he's getting the best of Kevin Durant. And by the way, Kevin Durant, very specifically, he's like, it's 15-6, I've got it, and it runs all year. We'll go at the end, we're going to tally it up. But there seems to be this real genuine between James Harden. Like, they want this kid to come along. Like, this is kind of the fruits of those labors. So there's no better locker room to be in for a young player like that.
I mean, along those lines, he clearly has confidence, right? Like, so yep. all those little stories and all these little sort of like little tidbits around what they've been doing in practice, or the confidence belays confidence, right? Like, so other players will see, you can feed off that, right? And so even if the results aren't always there, you'll feel comfortable giving these guys the ball, like, in possessions, because you at least know that they're confident. Even if the results aren't there all the time, the confidence, NBA players, like, they're built differently. And I think that's why sometimes NBA players kind of think some players are better than they are, because I think those players are really confident and other players feed off that stuff. Right. Like, and they will feed off the confidence. And I think we've seen guys probably have longer careers than they should have just on that confidence at times. Yeah. And so this isn't to say it's fake. It's not. I'm just like, but Cam Thomas clearly has that part where he's willing to, like, mention Kevin Durant in a post-game press conference, or willing to say, hey, give me the ball at the end of the shot clock possessions or whatever. So I think that part at least also really plays for him here, and is another reason you're going to continue to see it, because he checks a lot of these other narrative boxes, I think, that are important at the NBA level beyond just having enough skill. Like, you need to have other, you need to have other guys trust you, and it's already clear very early on that the other players trust him.
Yeah, and the eye test for the best players, they look at him and they say, oh, he can do this. We can trust you.
Like, yeah, we can trust you to do it. Like, we can trust you to at least try to do it. And that is a real skill. And that is something that you really can't teach. And some guys don't need it because they're just so good, so whatever. But he clearly has that piece of it. And I think that part, from that point of view, it makes sense that, I think from all the reasons we're talking about, we're going to see a lot more of him. All right. Wow. I actually have a question for you here in a second, because I want to go in one other direction with what they did in this game. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Thanksgiving. Y'all know what that means. Football. If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, you're about to get a full day of football. Get basketball coming back on Friday. Nothing better than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. Props, odds, lines for everything that you could ever imagine. It's your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head on over to BetOnline. They have an updated desktop and mobile website. You can sign up super easy. You can do that for free, but you're going to want to make a deposit when you do. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Not just football either. Pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even some Vegas casino games. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online. We're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving.
Oh, lovely. Just quickly before you give me your question. Stuff with that, that's good. That's very clever.
It means two things. Like, you're getting a lot of it and you're full from food. So you
I put it together. The last piece on Cam Thomas, just in terms of the team overall, is I like what he's doing for this group that you talk about, the guard group room, right? Well, is your question leading into this at all? I don't want to cut off my accolades.
No. It's about something different than Cam Thomas.
Yeah. Fantastic. So then allow me to diatribe on. When you put in Cam Thomas's skill set, we understand you don't have Kyrie Irving. So if you add him into the group with Bruce Brown, and I'll put Joe Harris in there as well, and I'll put Bembry in there, and understanding that Patty Mills is obviously this talent that he is, you now have five guys that have this bit of versatility and complementary skill sets that you can rotate through with a little bit more flexibility. When you looked at it and said, well, we have Joe Harris in the starting lineup, and then it's Patty Mills, yes, Bruce Brown, but question mark. Over the last now 10 days, we've learned that Bembry can be a real contributor. He obviously has the same kind of defensive upside that Bruce Brown does. And then the difference with obviously getting a guy like Cam Thomas going is he's your point, late in the shot clock creator. If you went over the course, if you went over this team, what would you say? Kevin Durant, James Harden, I'll say LaMarcus Aldridge because his shot seems fairly indefensible in the mid-range. Like Patty Mills, like Cam Thomas is the fifth best late shot guy on this roster, having played in two games substantial minutes. Like that's how crucial he can be. So it's really created a nice complement behind Kevin Durant and James Harden. And hopefully this game was that sample size, like we said at the top, of, oh, a few more players like this behind them, the games become a little bit easier.
Sometimes you figure things out of necessity, because I think sometimes it can be like, oh, well, why didn't we see this earlier? And, you know, look, there's lots of things that can happen for an NBA team that make it so that other things don't happen during a season. It's, you know, there's egos to manage. There's lots of other things that go on here, right? Yeah. It's not just one for one. This guy's beating this guy in practice, so he gets minutes. It's not that easy. And people that think it is are fooling themselves. It's just not. Like, there's promises made before seasons. There's contracts. There's money. There's all this stuff. There's locker room dynamics. Like, there's lots of stuff that goes into why a player would take a few, you know, would take extra games to come out and play. Okay, so like, Thomas not playing earlier is not something I would put on Nash at all. Like, I don't think that that's, I just don't think that's the case. And I'm glad you mentioned some of these other guys, because we're getting, you know, sort of out of necessity, we're getting to see more DeAndre Bembry. We're getting out of necessity, we're getting more James Johnson. It's all looked really good. They have like a much more balanced attack here because they're getting a little more scoring. Obviously, Mills shooting the lights out of it. So like, the other contributors are doing so much that it's allowing sort of everything to look good, right? Like, I think that's one of these things. And those guys like Bembry and Ben Johnson and, you know, are versatile enough, and that if they have other scorers around them, like, their games aren't going to get picked apart. So, like, they can look really good in these roles. My question for you is actually, and it just went up, you're watching on YouTube, you see this, is around LaMarcus Aldridge. So the flip side is, you asked me if Cam Thomas is this, like, is he going? Is like, are he any more trips to Long Island? Right? I don't think so. Or at least not, you know, not in this kind of same way they've been doing. On the flip side, LaMarcus Aldridge starts this game. I think we thought that that was going to happen ahead of time, right? Based on what happened last game, Blake Griffin, a DMPCD, not on the injury report, and only Nets player in uniform tonight that did not play. Do you think that this was the shifting of the tides of the Blake Griffin minutes? Like, that is he buried now because of sort of what happens here? And yeah, like, what's your opinion here? Because I hate to like end this on a negative, because this was such a big win, and maybe this is for a longer discussion, but it's the elephant in the room now. He's the only guy that didn't play in this game, and they looked awesome.
right. It would have been different if it was like a tight game, or oh, got blown out or lost, but you looked the way you looked without him. In the short term, yes. I think that you could see Blake get buried here for a little bit. I'm not going to fully say that he's done and he's out of the rotation, because there was another guy out there on the floor tonight by the name of Paul Millsap that I think we're starting to develop some pretty concrete thoughts about where the state of his game is. So just by necessity, you're getting to a place where, well, the minutes are going to have to go somewhere. I still will say that Blake Griffin, the fatigue factor can be real. We talked about where he came from last year, didn't play a ton in Detroit before the buyout and then got over, so really fresh legs. Like, there's still going to be run for him, even if it's out of necessity to get some rest for LaMarcus Aldridge. But we talked about it weeks ago. LaMarcus Aldridge should be the starter. This game seems like the proof of that pudding. And James Johnson now, too. I think that this is that point of the season, as we get close to 20 games here, where this is a different version of the Nets than it was last year. There's different needs on this team than there was last year. And once you put LaMarcus Aldridge into the starting lineup and you see what he is offensively, again, if you don't have Kyrie Irving, how do you fill those minutes and then fill the production? If LaMarcus Aldridge can do this to any level of consistency, now you're starting to check that box. You add in the Patty Mills piece, right? And then off of that, you get to benefit from what Bembry can do defensively for you. Take away anything he does on the other end of the court. So this is creating that balance. And unfortunately for Blake Griffin's start of this year, the offensive sample size was so bad that you had to look somewhere else for it. So I still think you will see him. It doesn't mean that it's over, but I'll put the little caveat, it'll be if Nick Claxton ever gets healthy from whatever the illness is that he may be suffering from, if he can do anything for you, he can very much do the defensive piece, not as physical as Blake, but he can play defense. We know that. That would be the big bite out of the apple for Blake as well, is if Claxton comes back and he carves out a role for himself, then maybe Blake, along with Paul Millsap, are going to find themselves being the back end of the bench guys. Because I also think I have a follow-up to this about what the best version of this team is and what they may lean into more now as they go forward.
Well, they're clearly going to stick with this starting lineup for the short term, at least, right?
Yes.
Like, that part, I think, is solidified. It was good, decent in the second half the other day. This lineup has performed really, you know, minutes with Aldridge have been really performing very well this season. I think they were trying to avoid it for, again, I think some ego stuff, and I think there's other stuff at play here. But I think clearly after this, for whatever reason precipitated it, this was going to be what they stick with going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting enough stuff from some of these other bigs, and I by the way, I've been on the team like Blake needs a rest. Like I think there's a lot other reasons here, and so I think there's things where it's like, hey, you need to take a couple games off. You're not in the injury list, but just sit it out. You've been really important for us. You're going to be important for us. It's a long season. You don't need to play every game. It's okay. Get yourself right. I think there's a lot of, because someone else is going to get hurt, right? Like this is all that happens in the NBA. Everyone gets hurt. So it's like, so one of these guys is going to get hurt, and that's just going to be the case. It's funny thing about Millsap real quick. Like, Millsap is one of these guys that when you're watching in the moment, it kind of is looking pretty bad, and then when you kind of slow it down, it looks a little bit better, and then when you look at the numbers, it looks a lot better. He's a really confusing guy this season, because in the moment, like, some of the ball choices look terrible, like the shots like look just really, really bad, it looks kind of slow, but then when you get to the end of it, it kind of all turned out to be pretty good. Like, his net rating is really positive this year.
They're like watching me cook for like Thanksgiving. It's a disaster all the way leading up to when you have a bite and you go, no, not bad. Not bad.
Well, this is like this doesn't even count tonight's minutes, I don't think, on PvP stats, but he was already a plus 8 on the season in his 140 minutes, which I was like floored by. And then tonight he was just, and look, plus minus isn't everything, but this is just going to back up sort of this other thing. His 17 minutes where he takes, he barely makes any shots, but he also is a plus 8 in the game. Right? So like his net, like the net rating stuff actually ends up being really good. And I think that, you know, some of the contributions that he has on the defensive end are really good. And so it ends up kind of being positive. I still don't think you can play him a lot of minutes, but I just think it's interesting about Millsap because the eye test, at least when it's at full game speed, does not look great. But then again, like video stuff, like slowing it down, it looks better. And so I don't know. He's still a wait and see for me. And he was all away from the team for so long, but I think it's all kind of Millsap, Johnson, Aldridge, and Blake, they all kind of exist in this box of you can't really play too many of them together. And so all their minutes, and Claxton's probably too, all their minutes are going to get swapped around. I think it's going to be interesting to see. But I think for the short term, yeah, we might not see too much of Blake.
And even Millsap looking decent, that's another eat into Blake's minutes, because while you're getting him rest or whatever the version you want it to be, you're going to say, hey, this is looking pretty good, we're going to stick with it. It's the same thing about saying Cam looked pretty good, let's keep him around for another game and see if the sample size works, right? So Steve Nash and his staff is obviously smart enough to see what's working and want more of it. We'll come back on this after the holiday and probably get into a little bit more, but I do have this curiosity now around, because you mentioned that whole group of players. You clearly see the benefit of Aldridge. There's going to be matchups where maybe it doesn't work so much. We went back to that, you know, that Warriors game, but I do think, again, especially if, well, I'll leave this cliffhanger, especially if Cam Thomas continues to progress, you start to think about just surrounding more shooters, more playmakers around your superstars. And I also think how Paul Millsap performs, what happens with Claxton, I'll call it out now. De'Ron Sharp is going to be the next rookie to get this little sniff of an opportunity. And if it looks decent, then you'll start to see him get a few minutes as well, even if it is in the vein of getting rest for these veteran players. Maybe this is going to look different than it did last year around some guys. We talk about rookies, that the Nets tried to specifically find players in the draft late in that first round and say, hey, these guys can be inning eaters for us, and then maybe even grow beyond that. So we're in a sweet spot, man. The next 20, 25 games is going to start to really shape out a lot of these roles. And as everybody knows, rookies, that's where I hang my hat. So
I was going to make fun of you. I was going to say, I was like, Adam found a way to get De'Ron Sharp into this conversation.
Dude, I did it all last year with Nicholas Claxton, and I'll do it all this year with De'Ron Sharp. And don't think, Kessler Edwards, baby, you are just around the corner.
Just like, how is Adam going to work De'Ron Sharp into a game where all, like, the Nets had six guys in double digits, three guys scored 20 points, national TV game against De'Ron Sharp plays 3 minutes at the end? Nah, Adam will figure a way. We'll get De'Ron Sharp into the conversation come hell or high water. All right, hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving if you celebrate. We will probably not be back for Friday. We'll probably be back early next week. We're going to take the holiday off here after the win. But in the meantime, make sure you are subscribing over to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. Every episode and more is going up there. Really love to see the numbers continue to grow over on YouTube. Like I said, every episode goes up there. I'll put the link in the show notes, but make sure you like and subscribe over to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel.
And of course, check out your boy Q. He's got the Locked On Bets going, your one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. And friends, no day more than today would I ever say, Thanksgiving, man, not a good day to be my pants. Kevin James.
One of the all-time great poets. Hope everyone has a good holiday. We'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.